Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to be tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5. And while you're turning there, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about what's going on with Kids Point. I am never in here on Wednesday nights. Typically, I'm over in the boardwalk, so it's a little odd for me being in here on a Wednesday night. Right now, we're in the middle of Strong and Courageous and Friends. It's the last nights over there. Mr. Steve-O and Miss Mary are tackling that tonight. But we have Kids Point launching in 2 weeks on Wednesday night. And ushers, if you have these, I'll ask you to come through real quick. If you have kids, make sure you get one of these handouts right here. It talks a little bit about Kids Point. It gives you a place there to register. So in the past, Kids Point has been just one big ministry where it's all the kids groups, first grade through sixth grade primarily. They are in pins. They are in all kinds of things. And it's getting a full rebrand slash refresh this summer or this school year. So what we have is we now have three Kids Point groups. We have Kids Point Junior. That's going to be our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. They're going to be able to participate and earn pins and stuff of their own now. We also are going to have Kids Point, regular Kids Point for first through fourth grade. And then I'm super excited about our new preteen ministry. We're calling it Kids Point Next. And those fifth and sixth graders, they are different than first through fourth graders. They're just different, especially when it gets towards the middle to the end of the school year. They don't connect as well with the younger crew. So we're going to give them their own place to hang out. And that's going to be led by Mr. Stephen Wheeler, and he'll be taking over that. He has all kinds of plans for them. On this paper here is a place where you can register your kid. If you register them, they get a bunch of different things. One, they earn pins throughout their time together. So if you're not familiar with Kids Point, what it is, you get a backpack on the first night, and then you get pins you can decorate, and you collect these pins throughout the year. And I have Kids Point backpacks for all the kids this year. This year, we have some drawstrings bags, some nice canvas ones that they'll pin. So we have Kids Point Junior gets a nice little white one there. We have Kids Point. They get like a beach canvas kind of one right here. And this is the one that everybody wants, but only fifth and sixth graders get. We have a Kids Point Next little fanny pack right here. These are so trendy right now. Not for me, but for kids. They love them. So those are what you're, if you register and you sign up for that, they get that on the first night, and they'll also be getting pins as well. So if you have kids, highly recommend you sign up. It's completely free to go to. You don't have to pay to come to Kids Point. It's perfectly free. But in order for them to get the pins and the backpack and all of that, there's a small cost to that. And that's just so we can recoup some of the funds that are going into Kids Point. So check that out. If you have any questions about it, please let me know. Let's jump into it. Ephesians chapter number 5. I get to talk to you guys tonight about ecclesiology part 2. And we're going to talk tonight about the picture of the church. So in Ephesians chapter number 5 verse 32, this will sound familiar from last week with Pastor Jay preaching. It says, "This is a great mystery, but I seek concerning Christ and the church." As Pastor mentioned, tonight's going to be a little bit different than a typical message, but you guys have been in here on Wednesday night, so you understand what that's like. It's going to be a little more informational. You're going to get a lot of doctrinal information, what we believe, why we believe it. And in the kids' ministry, you tell them all the time, don't just take my word for it. Don't just listen to the words that I have to say or teachers have to say. Let's go to God's word. Let's figure out what we believe and why we believe it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at the church. We're going to look at some pictures of the church, and then we're going to see what God says a healthy church should look like. Before we jump in, I have a couple of pictures I want to show you, and this is the point in this sermon where you give me the opportunity, where you speak back to me, all right? I do this every time. It's always a little awkward at first because no one says anything, but we're going to give it a shot anyway, all right? I'm going to show you a picture, and I want you to tell me an adjective that would describe this picture. Just yell it out at me. Family, all right? Fun, good. Happy, good. People say that pictures are worth 1,000 words, right? And I think if we look at this picture long enough, we can come across all kinds of different adjectives to describe this. What about this next one? A little bit different, right? Anybody look like this in the car sometimes coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays? Guilty. All right, what do we got? Some adjectives to describe this picture. Angry. What else? Chaos. Stressed, yes, stressed family. What about this next one? Nice blurry picture there. All right, we got blurry. That's an adjective for that one. What else we got? Another adjective. Love. Someone said aw. All right, and last one. A little different, right? Little different. Another adjective, what we got? What was that? Oops. Upset, frustrated, distraught, all right? So I think we look at these pictures and we can ascribe a bunch of different attributes to them. We can ascribe a bunch of little adjectives to them. We're going to look at two pictures of the church tonight, and we're going to give some adjectives or some action items on how we can, on what we see in these pictures of the church that God gives us. So we're going to have to look first at, there's two of them tonight, the body, and that's how we live together and function, and then the bride, and that's how we relate to Christ. So we're kicking off tonight with the body that should be your first point in your outline there if you're following along. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 says this, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." When we look at the body, we see many different things we can look at, but you have all three of them up here. The first one we're going to look at tonight is community. Community. The church was created for community. That's one of the reasons, one of the pictures of the body is it is community. There is, how many of you in this room, you would be, consider yourself an introvert by nature? All right. You guys raised your hands. Awesome. Extroverts. Yes. I'm about to jump out for that one. All right. I saw that there. And sometimes for introverts, it's a little tough. I would consider myself an introvert, even though I'm up here right now. I would consider myself an introvert, not really a big outgoing person. I still need the church. And God designed the church for us to live together. So we belong with each other, is your blank there. We belong with each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 14 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." God created us as a community of believers who come from all different types of backgrounds. It says here, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. And if you know in scriptures, a lot of times the Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't get along very well. They were very separated, especially when it came to religion. But here we have in this passage here where Paul's saying, no, Jew, Greek, together. Bond, you're a slave or free, you're together. You belong in the church and God made you for the church. And in today's society, it's the same for us today. God wants this church filled with all kinds of people from all kinds of different backgrounds, from all different points of life. That's the church that God wants for us. So it is community. We belong together. You can't live the Christian life on an island and still be a functioning part of the body. There's a quote from David Platt that says, "We weren't made to be Lone Ranger Christians. God has designed our lives to be interwoven with the church for his glory and our good." Another quote by one of our favorite preachers here at Liberty, "The Christian life wasn't meant to be lived in isolation." That's Pastor Thompson. If you've been here for any time, you have heard that one many times from Pastor from this pulpit. The Christian life was not meant to be lived in isolation. We weren't meant to live on an island by ourselves. We are to be together in community. Disconnected limbs don't survive. An arm will not survive by itself. A hand will not survive by itself. It must be connected to the body. And throughout scripture, when Jesus is talking about the body, saying that all of us have different functions. Some of us are hands or feet or eyes or a mouth, we speak. But if that member is off by itself, it's useless. It'll die. So it's important that as a church, we band together. We are for community. The second thing that the church is for when it comes to the body, we are a community of believers, is for service. We serve each other and with each other. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The church is not a spectator event. That's not what the church is here for. It's not a place where, and I think we got this confused somewhere along the way in the modern society where the church is just a place that we come, we sit for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, hear something that makes us feel good, maybe grab a cup of coffee or something like that, and then head home for the week. But that's not what God created to be. God created one to be a community, but also a place of service where we are pouring our lives into someone else. And I love this about Liberty is you get it. We get it here. You guys understand what that means. You plug in all over the place. Sit one, serve one, share one. It's all over the place. We get it. But let's not lose that heart. God created the church as a place for service. I love statistics. In case you didn't get that from Sunday a couple weeks ago, I love statistics. And this one, once again, comes from my favorite place to get Christian statistics, Barna. According to Barna survey, only 29% of churchgoers volunteer in their church in a given month. That means over two-thirds of the body is inactive. If 66% of your body just stopped working, we would not be here right now. You would be in the hospital. You might be dead, right? That two-thirds of your body working or not working is not a good thing. But in today's society, for some reason over the course, well, it's human flesh, but for some reason over the course of the last few centuries, it's become, I come, I sit, I leave. That's not what God wants. He's given each and every one of us gifts so that we can jump in, so we can help each other. There are things that I can't do, right? Like change an electrical outlet. No, I cannot do that. If I tried to do that, I would electrocute myself and probably shut down the whole building, possibly start a fire. Some of you are really skilled at doing things like that. I am not good at sawing things. Sawing. You ever said a word that just sounds weird when you say it? Sawing things. I'm not good at that. I know someone that is. Brother Javen's really good at that. I'm not good at that, but God gives everybody different gifts for a purpose when it comes to the church. And he has all of us here for a purpose. So that means that he's brought us here for a reason. And he's given you the gifts that you have for a reason. And it's to use them to serve him and to serve the church, serve one another. If the church was a human body, what part would you be? And are you doing the job that God has given you the ability to do? It's a sobering question that I ask myself. What gifts has God given me to serve the church body? And am I doing that? He's given all of us gifts, every single one of us. How are we using them? So we have community, we have service, and then the last one in this picture of the body is function. Healthy, unified, working together. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says this, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The picture is given here of joints and of supplying strength and making sure they are compacted together and all working together and all unified for the bettering of to help the body. And then Colossians 2:19, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." We are nourished, we're knit together, we are connected to Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 12:25-26, "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." What do we see in these verses? We see a healthy body. We see a unified body. We see a body that's working together. It's unified. And that is its function. The function of the church should not be many different people off in different areas doing their own thing. That's called chaos, and it will not work long term. If pastor has a vision for the church, and I have a different vision for the church, and someone else in the congregation has a different vision for the church, and another assistant pastor has another vision for the church, and we're all trying to do our own thing, what's going to happen? Explosion, disunity, problems, discord. And that's not what a healthy church body looks like. It's function, it's healthy, it's unified, it's working together. Matt Chandler put it this way, "When the people of God submit to the word of God and operate in the gifts God has given, the church becomes the most beautiful place on earth. When we're all working together, when we're healthy Christians, we're connected to Jesus, connected to the head of the church, when we're healthy, when we're unified, when we're working together, the church becomes the most beautiful place on earth. Now, on unity, it's important to remember that unity is not always agreeing, but it's contributing towards the same goal. We're going to have differing opinions sometimes. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be times where we don't understand something that somebody else says, or we don't see it from the same perspective, or we have disagreements. And don't we have that in our families, in our marriages anyway? Don't you have that in your own mind sometimes? Like, why did I say that? I don't even know if I believe that. Unity is not agreeing on everything, but it's not sowing discord. It's not going and saying, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that's disunity among the church. And that can be a very, very dangerous thing. A healthy church is one where members show up filled with the Spirit, ready to serve and not just be served. So we have this picture of the body. That's the first picture given. And in this picture, it's a bunch of different members, a bunch of different people that have a bunch of different jobs, have a bunch of different life backgrounds, all coming together for one purpose. I'd have pastors help real quick for an illustration. This stuff is here for a reason, all right? We didn't just leave this in here earlier. So, Pastor, I'm going to have you come down here to the end of this rope, and I want to illustrate this, all right? This heavy weight thing over here that I'm really hoping doesn't break, because it will destroy my illustration like that if it does, is going to represent the goal that Christ has for his church. He has something that he wants this church to accomplish. He has it. And Pastor, being the lead pastor here, is going to pull on that. Just give it some pull, Pastor. Just see if you can pull. I don't even know how much weight is on there. It's not going to go very far, if anything. It's very heavy. I pulled it down here today. It was not fun at all. But Pastor by himself isn't to be the one to complete the goal of the church. Now, he is the leader of the church, and he is the visionary for the church, but he submits to God, and he's part of the church just like you and I are. What this church needs is other people, us, to come alongside Pastor and serve together. So I need a couple of people to come help me out up here. Let's have Justin. Let's have Mr. Tiss. Would you mind coming up here? Let's have Mr. Nadosik. Todd, would you mind coming up here? Let's see. Who else can I call on up here? Can I have Adrian come on up? Let's go. Neptali, come on up. Yep, come on up. Somebody that has some muscle and can pull this thing. Hopefully this works. Mr. Joe, come on up. And just grab onto the rope here, guys. Just grab onto the rope real quick. So God has a job that he wants his church to accomplish. There's something that he wants the church to do. And it's not just one person doing everything. It's the church coming together as a body to complete. I'm going to have to steer this thing for you. I'll be the one that steers the ship, okay? So start pulling on it now, guys. I'm not even pulling it. So a moment ago, we had one person trying to do it all by themselves. See, look at that. Look at that. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys, your help there. Nice and light whenever everyone's doing it together. So you have Pastor who is trying to do it by himself, trying to run the church, do everything in the church by himself. It's just not going to work when you have one person. It's just not going to work. But when you get the body together and everyone's using their gifts for the cause of Christ, that's when the mission of the church goes forward. So it's not just one person, it's not just one staff member, it's not even just the staff. We need the body, and Christ shows us over and over again what the picture of the body looks like. Now, let's jump into the bride. So the first picture is the body. It's a unified group of believers working together. Now let's look at the bride. I have a lot of one words underneath this one, and that is, we'll get there in a second, all right? The bride, our relationship to Christ. So we have the picture of the body. That is the function of that is the function, all right? That is the community service function. And now we have the bride, our relationship to Christ. The first relationship that we have with Christ is a very obvious one. It's repeated over and over and over in Scripture, and that is love. Love. When you think of a bride, when you think of your bride, if you're a man in this room, or you think of your spouse, if you're a lady in this room, hopefully one of the first words that comes to your mind is love, right? How do you have a relationship with your bride? That is love. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 John 4, 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. So our relationship to the bride should be that of Christ giving himself for the church. When I think of this relationship with the bride, of course, I automatically go to my wife, Mary. When we were going to get married, like we fell in love. And we did everything with each other. We did everything for each other. It was always, how can I love, show you love today? How can I help you today? How can I do this for you today? And that's the relationship we should have with Christ. I love you, Jesus. You gave yourself for the church, and I love you, Jesus. How can I serve you? What do you want me to do today? How can I show you my love toward you? Francis Chan put it this way: the church is supposed to be beautiful because of our love. But too often, we're known for division and bitterness. The very first thing for our relationship to Christ should be that of love. The church should love Jesus. I know that sounds cliche and it sounds obvious, right? We should love Jesus. Well, we're a church. Duh, we should love Jesus. But that's all of us putting Jesus first, loving him. Our service to Christ should come from love, not just duty. What does the Bible say? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The second thing we see when it comes to our relationship to Christ is that of respect. Ephesians 5:24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And normally we focus on the last part of that verse, but we're going to focus on the first part of that verse here tonight. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, respect, coming underneath Christ, realizing that he is our ultimate authority, respecting what he has, respecting his word, what he has drawn out for us to do, and doing those things. We show respect to God by obeying his command and honoring his word. The Bible is an amazing book, right? It literally is a guidebook for life. It tells us how we should live. It tells us what we should do. It tells us what we should not do. It talks about history. It talks about science. It talks about so many things in it. And this is God's word to us. Do we respect it? Do we respect him? I believe we do. I believe we show that to him through our church here. But in our own personal lives, do we have respect? The third one I see is anticipation. Anticipation. Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb there. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This question popped into my mind right before service. I'd already finished this and already gotten the slides off to the designer to make them. This question popped into my mind is, when was the last time I thought about Christ coming back today? And I couldn't think of an answer. We get so busy in the hustle and bustle of everyday life that we don't think Jesus could literally come back at any time. And are we looking for him to come back? Are we living in anticipation that the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming? It's going to be a beautiful day one day when you and I get to live forever in a beautiful place called heaven. But when do we ever anticipate it? I think of Ashlyn right now getting married in, we talked about this right before, nine days. I'm sure there's a lot of anticipation coming up for 9 days from now. She'll be married and she'll be living off, I'm sorry, Pastor, in another state. And she's so excited. I think of Shane in the same boat. He's anticipating the wedding day to get married. He can't wait. And if we're using the illustration of the church being the bride of Christ, do we have that anticipation of Christ's return? It was a challenging thought to me. When was the last time I was even thinking that Jesus Christ could come back? Paul Tripp, I love what he says about the wedding feast. He says, no matter how good life is now, it's just the appetizer. The wedding feast is coming. And you and I, we should live ready for the wedding day. So we see anticipation. We also see sacrifice. Romans 12:1, again, talking about the church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think about with me. When a bride gets married, think about what they're giving up when they get married. Of course, they're gaining a lot, right? They're gaining a family, and they're getting married. But what are they giving up? They're sacrificing their comfort. I think of my wife, Mary. She grew up in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. All she knew was Michigan, Indiana her entire life. We get married a month and a half later. We're moving to Southern California. Not comfort for her. Completely out of her comfort zone. Sacrifice comfort. Sacrifice independence. They're no longer independent. They're now subject to their husband. They're now living with somebody else. They're having to share things now, right? And they even sacrifice their last name for the groom. Changes everything about them. And when it comes to our relationship with Christ, it does require some sacrifice. Now, we gain so much. We gain so much. But we maybe lose out on a friend group that we used to hang out with before. Is that a sacrifice we're willing to make to follow Jesus? Maybe we lose maybe some influence in a certain area of our life where we shouldn't have been, or maybe we lose certain things, but we gain so much. We gain so much by following Christ, but what are we willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus? Following Christ, it will cost you something. Are you willing? Are you willing? Lastly, we see commitment. Commitment. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says this, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." This is a imagery here, once again, another picture given of marriage, that we are married to Christ. The church is married to Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and Paul has espoused us to one husband, that is Christ. No other God, no other place, no other person, but to Christ. Nothing else coming before Christ. It's a marriage covenant. It's permanent. It shows that it's a permanent relationship. It's loyalty. A statistic from Pew Research Center in 2023-2024 says this. About 33% of U.S. adults attend religious services in person at least once or twice a week. And 25% attend at least once a week. That leaves 67% attending only a few times a year or less. Part of this picture of the bride is a commitment. It's a commitment to Christ. And what's one of the top ways that we show we are committed to Christ? By coming to his church, his bride, by showing up, by serving, by being here. Now, I get it. Life happens, and there's times where we miss, and there's things that we have to take care of, and sometimes we can't be here on a Wednesday night. Sometimes we can't be there on a Sunday morning. I completely get that. But don't lose your commitment to the house of God. Christ died for the church. It's important to him. We are his bride. He gives two pictures of the church, the body and the bride. And one of the top things when it comes to getting married is there being a commitment. When I got married to Mary, I was committing my life to her forever. When you got married to your spouse, you were committing your life to them forever. And it should be the same picture, same level of commitment, if not even more, when it comes to Christ. Are we committed? Church attendance and service aren't optional extras. They're all part of covenant faithfulness. I am committed to you, Christ. We are committed to you. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." If we are his body and his bride, then our actions represent him to the world. And I'm going to end tonight by talking to us about how we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. There's a poem that I want to read to you. I heard this poem growing up. I've heard this poem. And it was just brought up randomly the other day when I was talking to Pastor and another staff member about this outline. And here is the poem. "Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in word and deed. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongue is speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him or welcome his return?" Christ has no hands, but our hands. Romans 10:14, going along the same line, says this: how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You and I, the church, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. Christ has given us his word. He's given us his commands. And we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the job of Christians. That is the job of the church. So let's represent him. Let's be his body. Let's be his bride. Let's be the picture that God told us, that Jesus set forth for us when he gave himself for the church. Let's be that picture. Let's be the body, all working together in unity, serving, loving. Let's be the picture of that bride where in our church we see there is a commitment to Christ. We follow him. As his body, are we functioning, serving, loving, or are we disconnected? As his bride, are we faithful? Are we anticipating his return? Are we committed? Or are we distracted? The church is God's plan A to reach the world. There is no plan B. The church is his plan A. I hope that this was a help to you. As I was studying ecclesiology, it's one of my favorite doctrines to look at. And there were so many different ways that we could have gone with these two pictures, so many things you could have pulled out from Scripture. But I hope we got an idea tonight that we are the body of Christ. It's not one member, one person by themselves running everything. It's all of us pitching in from the different life experiences God has given us, being a unified body functioning for him. And then we are his bride, anticipating his return, completely committed to him until he comes back for us one day.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.